Y'all are in the middle of this budget process situation, and tell me how we're kind of progressing from an overview.
We are getting close to completion. In September, we'll have a couple of meetings to finalize the budget for next year. It's been a tedious process this past year. It's going to be a tedious process this next year, but a lot of important decisions to make. The council's very concerned about increasing taxes because we understand that the citizens of Bryan, like everyone, are having difficulties in this tough economy. And so we hate to burden them any more than we have to with additional taxes. And so that's something we were very cognizant about, yet very cognizant about laying off folks in a tough economy. And so, you know, each department head and the folks in each city department, they cut and cut and cut, and everyone sacrificed quite a bit to get to this point where we can balance this budget. We've got 14 positions that we're going to keep open for, you know, 6 months or longer, depending on the different verifications there. And we'll have to go back and evaluate each on a case-by-case basis to see how long they need to stay and remain open. But, again, it's been a very tedious process, but I'm very proud of where we're at this point. If you'll look at what's going on in other Texas cities, whether it's Dallas and Fort Worth, I mean, we get articles on a daily basis from some of our trade associations that'll talk about, you know, the difficulty that other cities are facing. And, you know, Bryan Colossation is definitely doing better than most. And we're very proud of where we're at this point in Bryan with our budget. And it's never perfect. And not everyone's going to be happy with it. But, again, I think it's well-balanced for the better good of the citizens.
You know, I was wondering, and I got a little information yesterday from the city having to do with the transportation fee that the city of Bryan has, because College Station's struggling with this, and apparently there's going to be ballot language on it. And from the information I've gotten, the transportation fee is collected in conjunction with the drainage fee on the BTU electric bill. And so for residential service, the fee is shown. If you want to look at your bill sometime, it says DTRCT. Transportation fee for each resident is $12 a month, while the monthly charge for the drainage fee is $2 a month, so the total ends up showing $14 on the electric bill. Do you get reports on, or how is it decided which streets will be rehabilitated or worked on using the transportation fee in Bryan?
Well, Scott, you can see in the past few years since that transportation fee has been in effect, we have increased the infrastructure improvements in Bryan. I think we've been doing about $8 million of infrastructure improvements over the past few years. I think we're looking at about $5 million this current year. But so a lot of barricades up, a lot of streets being done. We're an aging city with aging infrastructure. And unfortunately, College Station is getting older every day also. So it's something they're going to have to look at, and they're going to have to figure out how they're going to, you know, continue to grow and to, you know, take care of their infrastructure that's now starting to get a little older, you know. But Bryan has been there for quite some time. Some of the infrastructure and the roads have been neglected in years past. And so you're never going to play catch up unless you do something dramatic to start rehabbing and rebuilding those streets. And that's what Bryan's been doing here the past few years.
And again, because you are in a different point in time when you did this, College Station may be, well, really a little bit farther behind the curve. I guess what I want to find out is, are there circumstances where that number might go up from $12 a month in Bryan, or is there a circumstance where it might go down from that $12 a month total?
Yeah, Scott, we honestly haven't talked about that. I'm sure that's a possibility where it could go up or go down. If we can play catch up and bring everything up to par, you know, we go and analyze each street on a year by year basis with our capital improvement plan, and we've got staff that'll go in there and tell us, you know, this one's below par, this one needs to be brought up to par, and they'll rank them out, and we take a lot of the politics out of it these days. We just look at what streets need to be replaced and which ones are a higher priority, and once we get to the point to where you know, we can, you know, bring them up to above average condition overall citywide, then we'll, you know, definitely look and see if we can reduce those numbers. You know, by all means, once we, you know, have utilized the funds for its proper purpose and expended those avenues, then we can reduce that.
Mayor Jason Byinski from Bryan joining us this morning, which again calls into question the whole idea of impact fees. This is one of the concerns I'm sure residents in College Station have. The need for fixing roads obviously is important. Funding for it is what they're trying to meet the challenge of. So in this case, this is where you are as far as your roads are concerned. Do you foresee that impact fees are the way that cities, in this case Bryan, might go in the future for infrastructure improvements that they need to have, so that it's not necessarily a tax, it would be a fee added on?
Well, the fees are the impact fees are on your utility bills, so all utility customers are paying those fees, and we are, you know, a property tax state where all the emphasis is always placed on the property taxpayers. But some folks rent, and yet everyone will pay those fees, not just the taxpayers. So it's looked at in municipal governments as a fair way to assess the general public for improvements to a community. I'm sure there could be fees for every type of improvement you'd want to make, but you know, that's something that each city will have to evaluate on a case-by-case basis and see that it's of the better good for the community before they ever, you know, pass something of that magnitude.
Let's turn to the city manager situation. It's been on the agenda for weeks and weeks and weeks. Basically, your stand is that's not an unusual situation?
We are in the process. I actually talked with staff this past week. You'll see all of the appointees on the agenda for the next few months. It's an ongoing process that we evaluate our appointees. We've got five appointees: municipal judge, city attorney, city secretary, our internal auditor, and our city manager. And so we have to start with certain folks first. We can't do them all at one time, and the city manager was the first one to evaluate.
I guess the thing that might have been kind of curious is that you decided to have that closed door session with him in the midst of a process that was going on. Why did you decide now was the time, this week was the time, that you needed to go in and have a meeting of at least an hour with the city manager?
Well, we were actually in recess at that time, so we were not in the middle of a meeting. We had some other things that need to be taken
care
of.
Well, excuse me, okay, I misspeak. You were in recess, but why did you feel like it was necessary while in recess of the meeting to have that executive session? I guess that's what I should ask.
I think a lot of it's over-dramatized. I think at this point, some folks are looking for avenues to highlight anything that the mayor or the city manager may be doing, but you know, no one's ever reported the past meetings that I've had with the city manager, the city secretary, the city attorney, or the auditor, because I meet with those folks on a weekly basis, if not sometimes on a daily basis, either in person or over the phone. So if you think it's uncommon for the mayor and the city manager to meet, I don't think anyone would disagree that that's a common deal. We were not in the meeting at the time. There was some city business that needed to be talked about, and we did that as mayor city manager. So and we did go back in and wrap up the meeting.
Now, the BTU has presented their numbers to your satisfaction?
To my satisfaction, yes.
Okay. To the city manager, though, he's requested more information?
Right after we received the package of information from BTU, there were some other items that that needed further clarification, and those were provided by BTU to the city manager.
Okay. Again, as one member of council, I think city managers ask for a forensic audit. As one member of council, do you have a problem with that?
I have no problem with that. We have an internal auditor, and I think all auditing should go through our internal auditor. And if our internal auditor wants to look into a certain city department or a certain issue or a certain program, contractor, whomever it may be, I'll always support that internal auditor's want and need to look into things. So that's why we've got Bob Schultz there to make sure everything is above board. And if this is something that our internal auditor, with the help of our city manager, thinks we need to address and take a look at, I would be supportive of that.
Two members of the BTU board had resigned a few weeks ago. You've filled those two positions now.
Correct.
And those that's Chris Peterson, I think.
Chris Peterson and Ronnie Craig.
Okay.
We had a void in one of the spots left by Mr. Bill Atkinson. He was, I call him the financial genius.
Fiduciary type person, yeah. There you go.
On the B2 board. And so Ronnie Craig, a local prominent CPA, filled that position. Ronnie will do a great job for BTU and for the citizens of Bryan. And then Gene Cornegy was our attorney that was on BTU and did a wonderful job for us in that position. And a lot of the tedious negotiations that BTU and TMPA and some of the other ERCOT legislation and regulations that they have to deal with. So Gene was very instrumental with his attorney background, and so we were also looking for an attorney to take his place. And Chris Peterson, very loyal. Brian Citizen's been on just about every committee that the city appoints to, and we put him in that capacity.
As one member of council, do you see any more positions coming open before the end of the year?
We actually reappointed Ralph Davila and Emmanuel Glockson also. So we reappointed them to another 3-year term. I don't anticipate any resignations, if that's what you're referring to, and the positions that needing to be reappointed, they have asked to be reappointed, and they're back on there for another 3 years. So those two gentlemen have done an excellent job for us also. And we've got some really good business leaders on the BTU board, and they put in a lot of time and hours. It's not one of those boards that there's a lot of fun and games and you enjoy. I mean, it's definitely a serious business. It's a complicated business that it takes a little while to comprehend and understand. And so we've got some great minds on there and people that care about the city of Bryan and the well-being of BTU. And we're going to continue to work with them and work with the chair, Hank McQuaid, and moving Bryan forward and BTU forward and working together for the benefit of the citizens.
My understanding would be that the purpose of the board when BTU was created, because it looked like BTU might get out in the marketplace, might be selling some power. Pretty clear that's not going to happen now. If that's the case, why do we still, in fact, need a BTU board?
Well, I guess if you want to do away with the BTU board, then we need to look at doing away with all our advisory boards, all our committees that we appoint to, and I'm totally against that. The city council can only do so much. The staff can only do so much. We need our citizens to serve in those capacities, to volunteer their time as board members, as committee members, as advisory members, to look into what's going on, to oversee the departments and offer their expertise and come back and report to the city council, what needs to be done, what improvements can be made. We had the Bryan Housing Authority Board of Commissioners report to us this past meeting. Before that, we had the Parks and Recreation Board of Commissioners, the board members report to us about some of the things that they'd like to see done with our parks and with our housing authority. And again, the council members can't be at every meeting and be involved in every situation on a day-by-day basis. So we really appreciate folks that want to volunteer their time and serve in those capacity. And BTU is no different. It is the most complicated department, in my opinion. That we have at the city of Bryan, and to have an advisory board and a BTU board like we have in place to communicate with us and to kind of help oversee the operations of BTU is very critical.
Got it.
That's anything that. more eyes and ears to alert the citizens about what may be going on and what needs to be done.
Okay. Anything on your radar screen this morning?
A couple things. At our past council meeting, we approved an application for a $2 million grant with DARPA for our Project GreenVax. The county previously approved an application for a $2 million grant, and I think there's a possibility for an additional $1 million. So there could be a $5 million grant award here in the next maybe 6 months. For our Project GreenVax, which is on the west side of town next to the Health Science Center that's going to be distributing vaccinations on a wide basis worldwide. So this is a big deal, probably one of the biggest grants that the Department of Defense and DARPA and that group have ever possibly awarded. So we're hoping that Bryan Causation, Brazos County, and the Research Valley Partnership will be awarded that grant.
This is a deal where they use the tobacco plants to grow the virus rather than eggs, and so they can turn them very, very quickly. Yeah, okay.
At a reduced cost.
Yeah.
Also wanted to mention, when you've got time, we've got a new walking tour that we offer. You can download on your iPods and iPhones and tour downtown Bryan. It'll give you some history about the historical buildings that we have there. I was actually doing business in downtown Bryan yesterday and just all over downtown Bryan, walking and taking a look at everything, and noticed probably about six or seven new businesses that, as a mayor of Bryan, I wasn't aware of. Wow. I mean, one of them was yet to open their doors. I just walked in, said hello, and they were telling us about their business. But so if you haven't been to downtown Bryan lately, it is changing on a daily basis.
Oh, I'm a big fan. Big fan.
And you've got to go all the way. It's growing further north. Yep. You'll see all the infrastructure improvements on the north end. And I ask you to go all the way down to South College. as far down as you can, because there's a lot of businesses there past the Sale Park there that, sure, that have come in, about three or four in some of those buildings there behind the International Building and all that. So very proud of the growth and development there. And like I said, there were some really neat shops. I was really impressed with what each had to offer to the citizens of the Brazos County here. So invite everybody to come down and take a look, because there's a lot of new businesses that are popping up in downtown Bryan and, of course, all over the communities. So, again, we're hoping to get out of this tough economy, and I'm glad that we're past the budget process and that we're bringing that to finalization and completion and without a tax increase. And that's very important. And and again, proud of the staff for helping put together this difficult budget, the most difficult budget that some longtime city employees have mentioned in their history. So proud that we've gotten past that process and looking at continuing to move Bryan forward.
Sounds good. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
That's Jason Byinski, the mayor of Bryan. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays. It's brought to you by Brazos Valley Carpet Outlet, Nagelan Lighting Center.